Perfect. Golly day, what a day to do a podcast, huh? I'm Logan anymore, so whatever's left of him. This is Racing Refresh Happy Hour, episode 15, titled, I think appropriately, Penske Power. And we're going to break down the greatest day in motorsports. We're going to break down all the penalties. We're going to break it all down. We're going to break it down DX style, ladies and gentlemen. And look, I don't do it alone. Thank God for that. First, we're going to introduce the man who's a senior open wheel guru. He has had his Christmas, and let me tell you, he is just a chess mix full of excitement, if you will. Let's bring him in. Colin Best, come on in here. Oh, yeah. Look at that. Gorgeous. I'll tell you. Gorgeous. Colin, how are you?
I am doing well. A hearty Omaha to you and yours. I know Peggy will not be joining us, but, you know, we still prevail. We still great. We're Penske powering up in here. We have two great races to talk about, and then a snoozer at Monaco, but what was to be expected? We're doing certainly better than how Legacy Motor Club performed on Monday night. So I'm sorry, Logan. I had to say it. I had to do it because – it is true. They sucked on Monday.
Well, Colin is going to be bringing the bluntness, as you can tell. Colin Blunt Best, that's what we call him. That was also his that got him suspended once in high school for a whole different reason. Anywho, let's bring in the man that's going to produce at this point. Hey, look, he is – and look, when he's producing, I get a let's just say, a peaceful, easy feeling, if you will. Let's bring him on in here. Mr. Adam Carabine, come on in here. How are you?
Wow. Already pulling out some more Eagles references today. Wow. I'm impressed.
I did it just for you.
That's great, buddy. I'm doing well. I'm pulling double duty.
I don't want people to assume that you're an alcoholic, so I didn't say tequila sunrise.
Well, you know, that's all right. It's all right. Yeah, I'm pulling double duty tonight, today, whatever you want to call it. And as much as we miss producer Peggy, I'm going to do my best to fill in. But if there's any mistakes, it's because she didn't prep me properly. So it's not my fault.
Yeah, I tend to blame her for a lot. She cleaned up a lot of my messes, folks, both literally and figuratively. Well,
speaking of her, here she is. She says hello.
She says, good luck, everyone. She's with Les Claypool and Sean Lennon for the evening, but she'll be back next week. And by George, she promises. She knows she won't leave me alone too long. She knows I get dangerous that way. So with that, look, gentlemen, it's the greatest day in motorsports. That's what we're going to talk about. But boy, it was a bad week to be named Chase, wasn't it? We might as well start to get on it. First, we're going to focus on the weekend. So with that, of course, Mr. Carabine, that means it's time. See if you can click it just like her. It's time for that weekend review. You don't have the same gentle touch, but I like it.
No, yeah. Okay. Well, right. I'll work on it. I got the rest of the show to figure it out.
So it feels like it's been a month of Sundays since the truck race happened. Not gonna lie to you. details I remembered, I no longer do. Ben Rhodes won. I do know that. Ben Rhodes won. It has been forever since that race happened because we had 45 delays and we had a typhoon come through, made her from cars. No, not literally. But Ben Rhodes got the win in the truck series. And Mr. Carabine, did you see any of this race?
Unfortunately, I did not.
Why'd you put it on the script? That's wild.
Well, you know, people who are truck race fanatics, they ought to know at least that Ben Rhodes won. I guess, to be honest, if they're truck road fanatics or truck race fanatics, they would already know that he won. So I guess you're right. It is maybe a moot point. I'm sorry. Congrats to Ben Rhodes, who still, I think, has the best.
He won that Mamma Jamma.
The best press conference of all time, if you haven't seen it. His press conference after winning the championship. It's the greatest. So.
All right, let me be serious for a moment and give this the proper justice it deserves. Ben Rhodes wins the truck race. And folks, I don't want to alarm you, but we are already only 5 races left in the regular season for the truck series. I don't want to alarm you, but Colin, who's your championship favorite thus far? Does this cement Ben Rhodes into that category? You know, he's obviously been a champion before. That's why we have that now infamous press conference. But he's been Mr. Consistent. He was a championship 4 guy last year, gets the win here. Could this springboard him into being that championship contender in 2023? Talk to me.
He's certainly the veteran with the most high, I would say the highest probability to win the championship this year. Outside of Matt Crafton, but until Crafton proves me otherwise, I don't think he'll make a championship 4 appearance. I still think what I said before the season stands, I still think Carson Hocevar will be the Truck Series championship when we get to Phoenix later this year. I think he has the speed. He's been consistent. He's been a little reckless. He's had a little bit of a Ross Chastain streak to him over the past couple of weeks. But if he gets it all nailed down before the playoffs start and through that very kind of short playoff run the Truck Series have, I think he'll be a champion by this time when we go to Phoenix later in the year.
It could. By the way, we did find out that Phoenix will host the championship race again next season. Yippee. We'll cover that more later on. Just thought I'd mention that with the obvious plug.
You guys no love for Zane Smith as a repeat champion in trucks?
Look, I think it's hard to repeat in this era. I mean, the reality is it comes down to that one race at what is now Phoenix, it was Homestead. It's hard to repeat in this because it comes down to that one race. You can be the best truck all year long. You can deserve the championship. But what if, I don't know, sometimes it just doesn't click. The guys at the shop miss the setup. And I'm not trying to throw under the people that do the real work in this sport. But sometimes they do just miss the setup by a hair. And especially now, missing it by a hair can mean everything with these essentially spec cars. It's tough to bank on a repeat champion in any series, and therefore I will almost never do it because of the current era we're in. I guess we can all blame Jimmy Johnson, perhaps. What say you, Colin? Do you have any love for the Zane Smith doing the championship back-to-backer?
I think Zane Smith has his eyes set on the future, whether that be the Xfinity Series or a Cup Series right next year. Out of all people in the Truck Series, in the Xfinity Series, outside of probably Chandler Smith, I think Zane Smith is Cup ready right now. So I think he's looking in the future for 2024 to get a Cup Series ride. So I don't think he's going to go back to back. I think he'll be a championship 4 appearance, but I don't think he's going to go back to back. I think Carson Hocevar right now is way better than Zane Smith is right now.
And you know, we got to talk about Carson Hocevar here in a moment because he made his name in a whole different way. We'll chat about it. I want a final comment on that Zane Smith situation. Here's the good news for Zane Smith. If he spends another year in the Truck Series, it is a disservice to that young man. It is a disservice. He is ready. He's ready for the whole kit and caboodle, folks. He screams prospect. And the reality is this. I mean, Here's the rub, boys. Think about it. Todd Gilliland has done very well for front row. Obviously, he was out for a race in the whole nine. McDowell does consistent as always. He's going to be there pretty much as long as they want him to be there and vice versa. Where does he fit? Because you know, the problem with, you know, we have great prospects coming up in this sport. Zane Smith, Austin Hill. You can make an argument for Sheldon Creed. There are others that I don't have time to even list, really. Where the problem is, we are at such a log jam at most of the sport. Let's talk specifically about Zane Smith one more time. Let me ask this question. If he's moving up next year, and I believe he is or should, where do you put him? I'll start with you, Adam.
I don't know. He's raced a few races in the Cup Series, and he hasn't looked completely out of place. Mind you, with a, you know, Front Row Motorsports team that is, you know, not necessarily the height of fast cars right now. They're not bringing the fastest stuff to the track. And so I think he's doing an admirable job in that Cup car, despite the equipment he's in. So I don't know. I would say he's ready for Cup. I agree with you on that. But again, yeah, where do you put him then? Because there aren't a ton of spots opening up. You know, we're also going to later talk about the number four and what's going on there. You know, SHR, is there something there if Almirola is going to leave? I don't know. It's tough to say. I'm not sure. I'll bunt and send it off to Colin.
Nice. Colin, what say you? I know we got to move on, but I got to tell you, if he's going to go anywhere, if he's staying in the Ford camp, maybe keep your eye on the Wood brothers. Harrison Burton is absolutely underperformed. There's just no doubt about that. That's no disrespect to Burton. That's just the facts. What say you, Colin?
Yeah, that's exactly what I was going to say. There's not many teams in the Ford lineup that you could possibly go. It would be a disservice for him to stay at Front Row Motorsports. It would be a disservice probably for him to be at Wood Brothers, considering that out of four Penske cars, only half of them are performing on a weekly basis, that being Logano and Ryan Blaney. Austin Cindric has somewhat been in a sophomore slump, and Harrison Burton has really taken a nosedive in his sophomore slump. So for me, I think he would be on the short list of Harrison Burton, but I mean, it wouldn't be surprised me if he switched camps at all. I mean, if 2311 added another charter to their team, he can certainly be a third option at 2311. If Legacy Motor Club added a third charter, they could seriously be a contender for him too, because that Toyota camp needs young talent. There's not a lot of it around here. So for me, Zane Smith switching going to Toyota would be a very interesting choice. I wouldn't be surprised if he did that as well.
Yep, going to be interesting to see how it all shakes out. Let us know in the comments what you think should happen to Zane Smith and his future. We, of course, will keep you right here up to date every week on Racing Refresh Happy Hour, as well as our website, racingrefresh.com. All right, we got to keep moving along, though. Justin Allgaier got JR Junior Motorsports, pardon me, off the schneid. He got it done in what was a late night race. I mean, nearly midnight by the time we got through with it, because the way Mother Nature had it, a typhoon rolled through Charlotte Motor Speedway, and then we postponed the Coke 600 and did that Monday at 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for us cool East Coasters, and then afterwards, we did the Xfinity race. But Justin Allgaier got Junior Motorsports off the schneid. Colin, does this get their momentum going? Does this get their mojo working, perhaps?
I think it does. I mean, there's really only two guys that have really been performing week in and week out for the JRM boys, and that's been Sam Mayer and Justin Allgaier. Josh Berry has been sort of up and down this season, and Brandon Jones has kind of fallen off a cliff ever since he left JGR and moved to Chevrolet. Certainly, this is really big for JRM. This is really big for the Chevrolet development program as the Xfinity Series keeps trucking along, and it seems like Kaulig has passed JRM in terms of performance this year, which didn't surprise me. I think they were up and coming for the past couple of years, and now they're the top Chevy team in the Xfinity Series, in my opinion, based on performance. But it certainly was nice to see a good old fuel mileage race to end an Xfinity Series. We haven't seen that in a very long time. And shout out to, gosh, I can't remember this, Justin Haley as the record driver for completing 898.5 miles in one day, a record that will probably never be broken ever in NASCAR history. So kudos to him for having such a unique record in the NASCAR history book.
Yep, never say never, but that one looks pretty daggone safe. What say you, Adam? Does this get Junior Motorsports going?
I think so. You know, I'm just looking back at kind of their trajectory over the last little bit. They, you know,
stats shine through.
The last two races before this win, they had someone finishing in the top two. So, you know, I think they've been on the precipice for a little bit here, and I think this is finally breaking through. I think it might be a sign of good things to come. And I hope so, because I think, you know, not just as like a Dale Jr. fan, I just think when Junior Motorsports is doing well, I think it's good for the sport. So, and just in time for the switch over from Fox to NBC and have Dale Jr. commentating and doing all that. So I think it'll be good.
Yeah, we are just 2 weeks away or so from Sly Job City. Can't wait for that. And now let's get to the big news of the week as far as you know, the NASCAR season goes. Look, Ryan Blaney got it done. 59 races. 59 races. He wins the Coke 600. He gets off the Schneid. He's been close many times. He now is tied with Kyle Petty for 8 wins all time. Just a fun fact there. I say that because Kyle Petty said some stuff earlier this year, and now they're sitting together. You know, K-A-I-S-S-I-N-G in a tree there, boys. All right, Ryan Blaney off the Schneid. I think this gets him off in a big way, and I think he's going to be a contender. Because remember when Chase Elliott finally got that win? Remember when he finally got that win, that first dub? All of a sudden, he was in contention every week. And now I know this isn't Blaney's first win, not his first county fair. But it's one of those things you could see the self-doubt come off of Ryan Blaney in that post-race interview. How he started to wonder, can you still do this as far as winning goes? And now once you know you can, look, it's like a Lay's potato chip. You're going to go get more. I think this makes Blaney a championship contender. We know that he's been the only truly consistent Penske car. Yes, Logano's got the win, but he's also got more last place finishes than he's got wins. I think this gets him going. Colin, what say you? Is this what the doctor ordered as far as Ryan Blaney is concerned?
Well, if you're really comparing him to Casey Kane, they both won the Coca-Cola 600, but, you know, I digress. Yes, this is certainly a big thing for Ryan Blaney. After going last year winless, you know, it was one of the most surprising things from the 2022 season. And we were all thinking at the start of 2023, we're now in May, you know, he's going to win every single week. He's probably going to win to Daytona. We're probably going to go to Atlanta. The wins probably would have come sooner than we all expected. But he was certainly, I think, the fastest car during the entire Coca-Cola 600. And I think that just goes to benefit of, you know, maybe he was more set up for a daytime condition than it was a nighttime condition. Certainly, we got the track changing. We were not full night. We were just in the sort of the twilight, almost, what would you call it, sunset of the day on Monday. But certainly, I think this is a win that could catapult. Sorry, I forgot the word evening. Duh, I forget. It's been a long day. It's been 11 minutes. So what I'm saying is,
what do you call it? I call it evening.
I think this is a good thing for him. And we all have high expectations for Ryan Blaney. I think out of all drivers, the young drivers, I think that we set too high expectations for Ryan Blaney. We know he's talented. He's the son of the Buckeye Bullet. Shout out to Ohio. But for me, I think that this can propel him to an Elite Eight. I'm going to call it Elite Eight. It's whatever, it's basketball terminology. But I think this propels him to an Elite Eight. And then with 2024, I think we could see him as a championship favorite next year. But I think it's too soon for him to be in final championship four contention.
Now, before we get to our special message from our producer, Peter, who couldn't be with us here tonight because, I don't know, she's off juggling something. I don't know. We got to talk about the other two major races of the weekend. Obviously, there's the creme, the Indy 500. There's a reason this episode started Penske Power is because Penske got the sweep. And the first set of that was Mr. Newgarden saying, hey, I'm going to garden this whole thing right on up. So because you are the senior wheel open guru, Mr. Best, you're going to wait just a second. And Mr. Carabine is going to give us his thoughts. Come on, Rook. You know, you're not much of an IndyCar guy, and you tuned in. What say you? What do you think of the pageantry, the greatest event in motorsports? Tell me. Oh God, that ought to be an album cover right there. Look at that. That's beautiful. Oh, you need listening. All right. What did you think of the Indy 500, Adam?
So yeah, I admit that I am not the biggest IndyCar watcher. So it was my first time, or not my first. I've watched an IndyCar race before, but it was actually my first time watching the full Indy 500 altogether. And I actually really enjoyed it. I found it to be a really exciting race. It got a little bit crazy at the end there with all the cautions and of course the red flags, because they have slightly different rules than NASCAR. They don't do the overtime thing. So that was interesting, but honestly, I was impressed with it. And I found, like, I don't know, I was interested all the way, and it was kind of neat just to see. I know I kind of looked up some of the storylines beforehand. It was neat for Joseph Newgarden to get that win, because he has, what was it, his, Colin's going to correct me on this, was it his 13th attempt at the Indy 500 without a win? So
12th.
See, I catch him with his mouth full of Chex Mix. Sorry.
I'm not having snacks listening to your opinion.
Well, there you go. An opinion from a snack as well, if I may say so myself.
Hey, yeah. I'll tell you what, three of us on a screen, ladies, yeah, you're in trouble.
I wanted to talk about that flying tire, because that was just really scary. I saw it when it happened live, and I thought, oh, that tire went flying, and I was worried. And luckily no one was hurt. We saw the picture. It got hit a white car out in the parking lot, but man, certainly dodged dodged a bullet, but I guess you could say dodged a tire on that one. That was a little scary. So but pretty cool that he just walked out of that wreck and was totally fine. So kudos to the safety crews there.
Completely agree. So glad everybody's okay. That is first and foremost. But Colin, now is your time. Look, it is like Christmas for you, young man. First, let's focus on that Indy 500, the greatest spectacle, the greatest day in motorsports, the greatest event in motorsports. Very few things even are in the same breath sports-wise as the Indy 500. So, give us your thoughts. Break it down. Joseph Newgarden gets the first half of what will be a Penske sweep for the big weekend. Tony Kanaan's final 500. And so many more storylines. Colin, you have the floor. Merry Motorsports.
Yeah, I wrote all these down over to the past 24 hours getting ready for the show. And this race really got interesting, and it really changed when we saw Rinus VK get into Alex Palou on pit road during one of those, I think was one of the second or third yellows of the day. That sort of took Alex Palou out of contention, and that took Rinus VK out of contention. And really, it was down to Joseph Newgarden and Pato O'Ward for the final 100 laps of this race. For me, Newgarden was storming up through the field. He started about 17th or so, and then he worked his way up through the field. I think that's the farthest back a winner has come since Alexander Rossi, which he was also the last American to win the Indy 500 almost 10 years ago at this point. It makes me feel really, really old. But I think what this race comes down to are the final cautions that led up to the one-lap shootout. Now, I was very disappointed in IndyCar turning it in from a spectacle of racing that the 500 is into entertainment towards the end. It was kind of some NASCAR tomfoolery. And the only reason I say that is these guys are going 230 miles an hour, and you saw the moves that Joseph Newgarden made late on the front stretch leading to the checkered flag. If he hit that pit road attenuator, we would not be talking about Joseph Newgarden, you know, came up short. We'd be talking about Joseph Newgarden possibly died during the Indianapolis 500. I think it was very short-sighted by IndyCar. I understand you want the race to go green to the end. That's what the tickets are paid for. But at the end of the day, we're talking about safety. And we already saw a tire fly off one of these cars in turn two. It could have easily happened again on the front stretch. And that would seriously would have been a disastrous thing. As you know, the front stretch of Indy is a canyon of fans on both sides. This could have been a terrible thing. I'm of the belief that Marcus Ericsson was kind of robbed of an Indy 500 win. I don't think that race should have ever restarted under green, given a one-lap condition. It kind of just felt gimmicky to a point. You're going to go 488 miles and have it all come down to one lap. 199 laps didn't mean anything. Just that final lap did. I was very disappointed in IndyCar. I'm grateful no one got hurt. I'm glad Newgarden won. We saw the emotion in the crowd. By the way, NASCAR, this is the emotion you get when you don't see a camera right after the race on the front stretch. Like, just get rid of that, because IndyCar does it better with Newgarden running through the crowd, having a great time in victory lane. It was a perfect weekend, beautiful day of racing. There needs to be some changes to the aero package that, you know, you could pass all day. I understand that it was like slingshot city, but in Indy 500s previous, guys could pull out farther than maybe a second or so. You can actually get a very sizable gaps in the front. So maybe some engine, some aero packages changes that need to happen. The thing with Kyle Kirkwood was absolutely unbelievable. All in all, it was a good Indy 500. It was a memorable Indy 500, but we're having this trend. We saw this the past two of the past 3 years where we get a late caution, red flag with two, maybe one or two laps to go. And then we have a green flag to end it. This is the pinnacle of motorsport. This is the most dangerous marquee race in the entire motorsport schedule. And that should never happen. So I'm very disappointed in IndyCar, but we did get a first-time winner during the Indy 500 and an American one on Memorial Day weekend. So, you know, I guess you can't get better than that.
Look, I think you make some incredible points. And you were even fair to IndyCar in saying that you, of course, want the race to finish under green conditions. All right, quickly, though, any thoughts on F1 Monaco? Of course, the breakfast of the great day of motorsports, if you will. Quickly, we got to keep moving, but we got to touch on it.
Yeah, if it was a spoiled breakfast. It seems that Monaco has become this qualifying is more important than the race thing. It's sad. Qualifying should never be as important as the race. I feel like Fernando Alonso got screwed out of a win as he did not go on intermediates. The team put him on dry tires and the rain came out. Then he had a pit again for intermediates while Max Verstappen was already on wet weather tires. It was pure dominance by Red Bull. It was nice to see Fernando Alonso get a podium. And Esteban Ocon got a podium. He worked his way from fourth to third. I can't believe I just said that. I made it sound like it was a good thing. That's not a good thing. I think the sport has outgrown Monaco. I don't think we need it anymore. And unfortunately, it's going to be on the schedule for the next 2 years. And they're pushing for Miami to be the replacement to Monaco. Miami sucks just as bad. So for a crown jewel event in Formula One, I guess we'll see how Las Vegas turns out. Because if Las Vegas turns out to be a snoozer, then there's no more marquee event in Formula One anymore.
Well, I saw this tweet, and now I haven't fact-checked it myself, but it was a wild stat, and it was making the rounds on Twitter. Apparently, the last on-track pass for the lead at Monaco was in 1996.
Yeah,
that's brutal. I know the pomp and circumstances there because it's Monaco, and Monaco's such a cool track and city, but yeah, something's got to give there. I don't know if that's acceptable.
It's unacceptable that Formula E had 145 overtakes in one race, and the Indy 500 had more overtakes in two laps than the entire Grand Prix of Monaco did. Either make the car smaller, like Formula E, or just don't go there entirely. Find somewhere else to have the rich people, you know, Google and Google all over themselves. And Mercedes brought new parts to their car, aerodynamic parts, and they're like, yeah, let's bring it to Monaco where we don't know if they work or not. So, yeah, right. Good job, Mercedes. You suck. You're so good.
Well, I personally hope, because I'm a believer in nostalgia and pomp and circumstances, we know, I hope they make the car smaller and find a way to fix it instead of getting rid of Monaco. The history and tradition is, I think, very important. Anywho, before we move along to the big stories of today, we do have a special, special message from our producer, the woman we call Peggy, the woman that I call Peter, and some just call her a big Ryan Blaney fan. Take it away, Pete, and I think you all are going to love this.
Yeah, buckle up, everyone. This is good.
You got my snacks.
Greetings, Earthlings. As you may have noticed, I am not here tonight. I am seeing Les Claypool this man. But enough about me. Ryan Blaney has won. After 59 races, he finally won. And I'm not here to celebrate. What a shame. What a shame. Look how happy he was to have finally won. And not just any win, he won the Coke 600. And I'm not here to celebrate. So, by popular demand, here I am recording a video. How did that get up there? Anyway. I just wanted to share in my excitement that he finally did it. Tell you all that when he teared up, I also started crying. I love this man with all my heart. And I hope this just sets him on a tear. Maybe he'll be our 2023 champion. And one more thing before I go. And we'll talk about Chase later, I'm sure.
Was that not the greatest thing we've ever aired?
I ran out of checks, Mike, so I'll be right back. I gotta get something stronger to drink because Chase raced a lot. He came back.
That was 2.5 minutes in the mind of Peter. Let me tell you, it's sometimes a dangerous place.
Where's Adam? Where's his review?
I couldn't even show my face after watching that. It's too good.
Come on, we had to show our face. Join us.
I know. Well, I'm the producer. I get to do what I want now.
That was just wonderful. That was just wonderful.
Is that the greatest 2.5 minutes of internet ever? I think it might be.
I still got flowers here. I still got flowers here. And if I roll over this way, don't worry. Don't mind the crashing. Don't mind it.
We're live, pal.
I still got my Denny Hamlin car, and I got these flowers. By the way, a little behind the scenes, I use my fiance's work desk to film here because it's the only light over there. I don't have any lights on my computer over here, so I got these. Look at pink stapler too. It's just pink. Everything's pink.
I am going to personally try to persuade Adam or Peggy to put that up on our YouTube page so I can watch it over and over again. Because my goodness. I mean.
It's going viral, I think.
It's got it.
Yeah.
There's just a certain Peter way about her, and she's just odd. Anywho, we got to keep it moving. Colin, get it together over there. We got to hit you with some happy hour headlines. Oh, yeah, a little neon, just the way she likes it. It's almost like she's here. I miss her. Where in the hell did Adam go? See, this is...
The producer can do whatever he wants, I guess.
I'll tell you what, I can't stand a guy on a power trip. Anywho, Chase Elliott has been suspended for this weekend due to the incident with Denny Hamlin at Charlotte, where he clearly, in my view, right-hooked Denny Hamlin And while I'm sure his intent wasn't to hurt, that's just too dangerous to even allow or be okay with. Colin, what are your thoughts on Chase getting suspended? I think it's the right call. Gutsy call on NASCAR's part, by the way, for it to be the most popular driver. But I think it's the correct one. The precedent was set last year with the Bubba and Larson incident. Great call by NASCAR. And hopefully Chase learns from this because, unfortunately, I don't agree with Denny Hamlin on many things, but he's right. Chase lost his temper and had a tantrum. I mean, there's just no way about that. What say you?
See, I'm a Denny Hamlin fan, but I'm going to put that aside and put my journalistic integrity hat on and say that I think this situation wasn't as the magnitude of it wasn't as great until Denny posted the SMT data on Twitter. Once he posted that, you know, Chase said, you know, once you wreck these cars, you know, you can't turn. And, you know, him not even apologizing after the media center put some, you know, he's not even apologizing for what he did. So he did it. His words are saying there was intent behind it. Once the SMT data came out and showed him that he took just a hard left, it's over. There is nothing that Chase Elliott could do. They're not even going to appeal the suspension. I think what's worse is if you look at the points right now, and I'll pull this up, he's currently 28th in points. He's minus 81 BF back. He will miss the race at Gateway, which means he will miss a full race worth of points, which means he can fall behind Harrison Burton and Austin Dillon going into the summer stretch, which, I mean, granted, there's still a lot of time. There's still some tracks that Chase Elliott's really good at. But compared to everyone who hasn't won yet, the Ross Chastains of the world, the Chris Buescher, Bubba Wallace, even William Byron, even Daniel Suarez, even Ty Gibbs, who has been competitive as of late, there could be 16 winners by the time Chase Elliott enters victory lane, and he hasn't even been close really so far this year. There may be a possibility that, granted, there was an accident with him snowboarding earlier this year, but kind of self-inflicted. Now there's another self-infliction upon him where he could be out of the playoff picture entirely in 2023, which would be absolutely surprising to everyone if we were talking about this in January or February. So for me, I think it's kudos to NASCAR. I think they did the right thing. There's a difference between hooking someone in the left rear and someone in the right rear. And, you know, we lost a driver in the early 2000s, the exact same racetrack and almost in the exact same place on the racetrack. It's a very dangerous part to get wrecked at. And Chase Elliott is a champion. He's not a rookie driver in any series. He has experience. I think Chase Elliott should know better. And kudos to NASCAR for, I think, giving an appropriate punishment that fit the crime.
Completely agree. I hope Chase learns from this. There's just no excuse for it. There just isn't. Sorry. Now, Corey LaJoie is going to move to the 9. Give me your thoughts on that, Colin. Big opportunity for Corey LaJoie.
Huge opportunity, especially a couple of years ago when Jimmy Johnson retired. He wrote a letter to Hendrick saying, hey, I want to fill this spot in the 48 car. We know now that he went to Spire and, you know, things just went the way for Corey LaJoie. But for the first time in a very long time, he's not going to be stacking pennies this weekend. He's going to be stacking some dollar bills, y'all, because he'll actually probably have a good chance to actually get a good finish in this race. It'll be in top-tier equipment. We can finally see what Corey LaJoie can do. And a top-tier ride. And if he knocks it out of the park, I think teams are going to look at that and say, hey, you know, Corey LaJoie actually has what it takes. But not to take anything away from him, he's 20th in points in a ride that's funded by Spire, which is very low on the Chevrolet totem pole. I think right now below Legacy Motor Club. And to be honest, he's doing a whale of a job. We know he's a good driver. We've seen flashes of it, mostly at Super Speedway races. But for him, I think he's the perfect candidate to fill that seat. I know we'll get to it later. Why is Josh Berry not doing it? No, he might be in Portland, but, you know, there might be another reason why. But I think this is a really good opportunity for Corey LaJoie. I think he actually deserves this ride.
Conspiracy column might strike again. Adam, the other Chase Briscoe, had a major penalty come down today. I want you to break that down for me and then give me your thoughts.
Yeah, so I guess NASCAR found that the 14 team, Chase Briscoe, had used a counterfeit part, which is just wild, I think, to be honest. Like in this, you know, some of the other penalties that have been doled out for like the slightest, smallest little things, to literally go in and bring your own part and put it in there is, that's where you're just hoping that they don't look, and they're gonna look, you know. So Chase Briscoe gets docked 120 points, and then on top of that, 25 playoff points, which I don't think I've ever seen that many playoff points as a penalty. So that's a steep hill to climb for Chase Briscoe. That bumps him now to 31st in the standings, behind Chase Elliott, who's missed a bunch of races. Like that's rough. And they have come out and immediately said, yeah, pretty much we did it. Our bad. We're not appealing. So I don't know how you mess up that badly. That's a really big screw up, or just a really stupid gamble. One of the two, I'm not sure. And when you look at like, how did he finish? He finished 20th. So did it do anything else to like help his performance? I don't know. You know, if he comes in second, you're like, okay, yeah, I get they were going for something here, but there was no benefit. It was, what a stupid move.
Well, stupid move. But let's paint a picture. So come sit under the Loganity learning tree. Let's paint a picture. We all know that SHR right now is the Kevin Harvick and Friends show. Picturing Kevin Harvick not in the four right now is scary for everybody that has any opinion on SHR whatsoever. Fair agreement? Okay. So desperate times are starting to call for desperate measures. And so I think SHR is very aware of why are we struggling the way that we are as a team besides Harvick. And so I think, unfortunately, when you're struggling like you are, the team that, I mean, they're not quite Penske, but I mean, for a long time, they were competing with Penske as the top four team, and they're still very well funded compared to many teams in the field that they're currently getting beat by in the standings and were before this penalty. So I think desperation set in, and I think they're like, all right, we got to try something. And because let's face it, I'm not saying this is okay at all. I'm not. But this sport was founded on you take every advantage you possibly can. That's just the way it is. And that's, you know, I'm glad that's changing. That needs to change. Let me be abundantly clear on that. But that's the way this sport has gone for 75 years. So I think they got desperate. And yeah, they got caught, and they're going, boy, it looks a lot like it. It's like the counterfeit Jordan shoes, right? You know, how many when Jordans were the thing, and I mean they're still big, but when they were the thing, how many people accidentally bought a pair and it looked just like them? But if you looked real close, that ain't the same jump, man. What? That's wild. And so I think desperate times called for desperate measures, and yeah, they got caught. And they're going to pay for it. I mean, think about the penalty that went down to the crew chief, Klausmeier. $250,000. Cool. I know that we live in the world of big sports and big checks. And I don't know about you two gentlemen, but $250,000 would change my life. It would change my life. It would change the quality of the show. It would change my career. It would change my looks. It would change anything I could possibly change. It's $250,000. I haven't even thought about how to really spend that much money legitimately. Like, so yeah, they're getting caught. And what's my point to this ramble? My point is I'm glad that NASCAR is sending the message and saying, this isn't going to fly anymore. Yes, it did fly for a long time, and it probably shouldn't have. But that's neither here nor there. It's tough to compare eras. It's so good that NASCAR is going, hey, this stuff isn't going to fly anymore. Because I can show you many Ray Evraham videos of him pretty much admitting that we were outright cheating. So I like it. I think it's a good call by NASCAR. Adam, one thought from you. Do you think this is going to deter other teams from pushing that envelope? I hope so.
Well, I would hope so as well, but I would have thought that some of the earlier penalties handed out this season would have done the same for this incident. So I don't know, you know, did they really think that they had pulled one over on NASCAR? Or was this they're claiming it was a mistake, but you know, they're not saying they didn't do it. They're just saying it was a mistake. So I don't know. Yeah,
it is a mistake once you got caught, but it ain't an accident. Yeah. There.
True. That is the mistake, is getting caught. But yeah, I don't know. I mean, I know teams are always pushing the limit, and I don't know. I don't think this will be the last penalty we'll see this year. I'll put it that way.
I don't either. We, of course, have seen the losers with Hendrick, but we got to keep moving it along. Other big news this week that has completely been lost in the shuffle of all this week and the rainouts and the whole night.
I know when I was putting this together, I was shocked that we didn't talk about this last week because it feels like it happened so long ago. But yeah. Go ahead. Sorry, I've cut you off.
Yeah, it's been we've been on the long run since then. The founder says that he said it for years. Hit a driver on the right rear and you deserve to sit for a long time. Completely agree. You don't do that. Look, I'm all for getting payback, whatever. But you do it where no one's likely going to get hurt. That's why there's Martinsville. All right. That's why Matt Kenseth was a folk hero. All right. Because he went out there and did it at a track that you're probably not really going to hurt somebody. No, you keep that up, someone's going to get killed. And that's, I don't care. And I like Chase Elliott. Anyone that's watched any incarnation of the show knows I'm a Chase Elliott guy. But there's no supporting that. And hopefully he learns from this. All right. Now, again, let's get to the other big news of the week. Again, it's been. It feels like it was 2 years ago at this point, but it's been crazy. Josh Berry looks very likely to be going to the four. Jordan Bianchi of The Athletic reported that they are neck deep in contract negotiations, and it looks like Josh Berry will be the one that takes the over. Kevin Harvick's ride, great opportunity for Josh Berry. But the prospect of an SHR without Kevin Harvick is really a scary thought right now with the way that everybody not named Kevin Harvick is struggling. I'm just calling a spade on that. Colin, I want to get your thoughts. Josh Berry going to the four. Good opportunity for him, but is it the opportunity that we thought it would be? Because, look, Stuart Haas is completely struggling. There's no way around that. What say you?
Yeah, they're certainly very far along on the struggle bus across the country right now. And it looks like they're never going to return. It's just going to go in the Pacific and just be gone forever. But to be honest with you, if anyone deserves a Cup Series ride in the Xfinity Series, it's Josh Berry. I think he's proven that he's a talented racer. He's a great short track racer. And it's kind of what Tony Stewart's turning that team into. He has Ryan Preece, a decorated Northeast modified guy who has the talent to run in the Cup Series. Chase Briscoe, who has talent to run in the Cup Series if they don't cheat a lot. But, you know, he has won at Phoenix, and, you know, a Cup Series winner is a Cup Series winner. And for Josh Berry, he's been super sub all year. He's actually run really well in the 9 car and the 48 car. Now, I can't compare both of them because two different manufacturers, two different teams, and one's certainly on the rise and one is trending downhill. But if anyone is going to if Tony Stewart, I think, has a nice form of driver talent. He tried to get Kyle Larson in that car. It did not happen. If anyone can judge driver talent, I think it's Tony Stewart, and I think he knows what he's doing. I think this certainly hurts the Chevrolet camp as a whole because they no longer have the guy to move along. Let's say if something happens to any one of the top Chevy teams, let's say Austin Dillon loses a ride. Well, Josh Berry's no longer in the Chevy camp. Who are you going to get to fill that ride? Kyle Busch is a name that could retire in a couple of years. Josh Berry's not there to fill that ride in that RCR car. So I think this hurts Chevy more than it does Ford. And, you know, the sport's a cyclical. You know, things keep going around and around. Yeah, SHR might be at the bottom, but they may be in the top sooner or later. Who knows? Maybe an off season to think about things. And, you know, Josh Berry will be running top 10, top 5, and maybe possibly contending for wins. So we have no idea what the future holds for Josh Berry, but, you know, he made it to the Cup Series, and if it is true, good for him.
I don't mean to poo-poo on the Josh Berry Brigade. I really don't. But let's keep in mind, and hey, Josh Berry could be a late bloomer, but he is 32 years old. That's awful old for a rookie. That's past the point of blue-chip prospect. Josh Berry is in a whole different world than the guys like Zane Smith or even Harrison Burton for that matter, because, you know, Josh Berry's getting a late shot at this thing. All kidding aside, 32 is at this stage, we're in a different world than we used to be. At this stage, it's a little old to be getting your big break. Good for him. I'm not knocking that. Maybe he's late bloomers are a thing, people. So I think it's a big loss, yes, but if your future depended on the 32-year-old rookie anyway, you got bigger issues. You got because he's a 32-year-old rookie. I don't think Stuart Haas gets back to where they were, because I personally, and I have nothing to prove this on, but here comes a crackpot Loganity take. Tony Stewart is checked out of NASCAR. He doesn't care. He has nothing but bad things to say about them unless he's getting paid by Fox. Every time he does a presser and anything related to drag racing, he does all he can to pretty much delegitimize the sport. It's like he's back talking about tires. I'm waiting on him to yell at DW again. I think Tony has right now, and it's been an issue ever since the Eldora thing. I think Tony's kind of lost his passion for NASCAR. I think he will field a team and do those things, but I don't think the burning desire is there to compete and win a NASCAR anymore, because he just doesn't look at NASCAR in the same light as he used to. He does everything he possibly can to delegitimize the sport again when he's not, you know, working for Fox. Then he behaves himself, and hey, good to him. But any presser that has anything to do with his drag racing stuff, you can just tell that the NASCAR passion isn't there. Would either one of you like to take any shots at that crackpot theory of, look, I don't think Stewart Haas as it is going to last because Tony Stewart is checked out?
I think if NASCAR returned to the dirt and they did it the right way, i.e. going to a proper dirt track, I think Tony Stewart would be more involved. To be honest with you, I think his heart's a little broken. I think as he's given the sport so much, he's done so much to the sport, he's tried to give back, and NASCAR said, screw it. We don't want to be part, because the SRX series is kind of taking people away from the Cup Series discussion, from the Xfinity Series, from the Truck Series. It's kind of like an AEW, but if AEW was more successful. Sorry, Logan. But anyway, but, you know, I think maybe Tony Stewart, there is a possibility, I could see it, that he does leave the ownership side of the sport. Gene Haas is kind of juggling two things at once with Formula One not being as successful as he thought he wanted it to be. In the NASCAR series, it seemed like he kind of peaked during the Chevrolet days in 2012, 2013, 2014 with that team. And ever since then, they really haven't been relevant to a championship title since then. So to me, yes, they've fallen on lean times. I guess I'm more optimistic and say they can always rebound. But dare I say, these are the grumblings of the death of Stewart Haas Racing.
Look, there is no one more optimistic than me. Look at the hat I'm wearing. David Bell, thank you for commenting. Papa Bell, we love you.
Love you. Yeah, there's no one more optimistic than someone who roots for someone who finished in 30th place.
Hey, calm down there, Colin. You're there. Where's your journalistic integrity? My ass. All right.
You're the one wearing the hat.
Yeah. My guy, you know, has a podcast. And look at this. He's such a cute car.
So we can sit and whine. Yeah, that's fantastic. Look, when it comes to Tony Stewart and his thoughts on NASCAR right now, he's at the hotel. It's 10:45 and checkout's at 11. Pack your bags. He doesn't care. He's lost his passion. And I'm not saying he doesn't have a right to be upset. But it's just weird. You know, call me a conspiracy theorist, but it's just weird how it's all coincided with, we had issues, and now, meh. Meanwhile, you did everything you could during your driving career to make the sport look like crap. But, all right, that's enough of me. I'm a soapbox about Tony Stewart. So that means it's time for our weekend preview. Shoot it with me one good time. Oh, yeah. There we go. Look. Every great episode has got to come to an end. But before we do that, we got to make some predictions. We got to talk about the fact that the Trucks and Cup, they're at Worldwide Technology, what used to be known as Gateway in St. Louis. Xfinity's at Portland this weekend. That's why Josh Berry, we think, isn't in the nine. Adam's going to be attending. Adam.
Oh, yeah.
You got to get your thoughts.
I'm going to bring you the scoop. I went to Portland last year for the Xfinity race, and it poured and poured rain. The forecast is looking nice, so that's good. They still ran it because it was, you know, you can do the road courses in the rain, but it was a bit of a gong show. Everyone was slipping and sliding everywhere. So I am interested to see how they do on the track, although I, you know, as someone who doesn't have as much experience in motorsports as some other people, I've heard that Portland as a track can be a bit of a snoozer. But I'm looking forward to just going and checking it out, and I'll probably have some fresh content for you next week on the show. So hopefully. And then I know I'm jumping the gun here, but I'm actually going to Sonoma the week after as well for the cup race. And actually Crystal Clay will be joining me there as well. So we'll get up to something fun, I'm sure, and share it with you in the coming weeks. So.
All right. Well, you know your mission, you know your orders, Mr. Kitterbein, you know your orders.
Oh yes, I do.
So just let you know.
Take it easy, Logan. Take it easy.
Oh, dude, I have one speed. I got one gear go, brother. All right. So, Indy, look, they don't get it's not a break time even after the beautiful glorious Indy 500. They're heading to the fine streets of Detroit. Talk to me, Colin.
Yeah, new course, new layout, new everything. Gone are the days of Belle Isle and the fantastic memories the IndyCar series has made there over the past 20 years. It's sad to see that track go, but it's always great that IndyCar stayed in the Midwest, and this time running downtown Detroit right past the GM building. It looks like Chevrolet is going to go back-to-back. Joseph Newgarden's very excited about it, but I'm going to go with a person who was on his lid at Indianapolis 500. He did win the opening race at the St. Petersburg. He's going to win this weekend. I'm going to go with Captain Kyle Kirkwood. We call him Captain Kirk on Twitter because his name is Kirkwood and it's from the Star Trek thing, but Captain Kyle Kirkwood doesn't just roll off the tongue. So Kyle Kirkwood wins it at Detroit. This should be a very fun race. I'm very excited to see how this goes. So
that's all right. You get another shot right here, right now. F1 Barcelona talk.
Yeah, man, F1 at Barcelona. We're actually getting the new track layout. We're going back to the historic layout. If you remember, turns, I think, 11 and 12 did a little chicane before you went back on the front stretch. Those gone are the days. It is now a flowing, easy right hand, right, like a little short shoot, then getting on the main straight. You could take that flat out. Lap time should be around 4 or 5 seconds faster than they were in the past. We can finally see how Mercedes' new body panels will work on the car. A lot of other teams will get new upgrades for Barcelona this weekend, so we expect some differences in the running order. Is Red Bull going to continue to dominate? Is the sky blue? And does a pair poop in the woods? It sure does. But I'm going to take Sergio Perez to get the win, and Max Verstappen follows in second. And Fernando Alonso, he has not finished a race so far this season without a podium. He will continue, and he'll get his third straight. He'll get his like eighth straight podium so far to kick off the season. So it's kind of meh. I mean, there's no excitement in F1 right now. 2021 was the best it ever will get, and until it gets like that again, Max Verstappen, Red Bull, take it to the bank.
All right, Colin.
Now, just because in the past Colin has corrected me, I will let you know, Colin. Fernando Alonso finished fourth at Azerbaijan.
He's so handsome, and he's possibly dating Taylor Swift. Who cares?
Is he? Cares? Oh, wow. There you go.
He's on top of the world.
Well, the haters going to hate.
That's all we need is a new Swift.
He's just in a getaway car, you know?
NHRA has got
he's like an anti-hero.
Yeah.
Sorry, Logan. Go ahead.
That's all right. I'm only trying to run the show here. NHRA has also got some action this weekend. Talk to me, Adam.
Oh, there's not a whole lot to say about it necessarily. We'll break it down after it's all over. But NHRA is heading to Epping, New Hampshire for some more straight line passes, as they call it. So, yeah, we will break it down for you next week. Although I probably won't get a chance to tune in because I will be in Portland. But I'll see if I can get some inside scoop on what's going on there.
That's fine. We know a guy.
We know a guy. His name is, I don't know his name. Anywho, it's time, as we near the end, it's time for some racing refresh picks. Give us the skinny, Mr. Kitterbein.
All right. Well, it was a momentous day. We saw Peyton's reaction to Ryan Blaney winning. She also picked Ryan Blaney last week, so she wins the week. I'm not as fancy as her, so I don't have a graphic up there to tell you the point spread, but I can tell you that Logan is still in the lead with 5 wins. Peyton now moves to 4. Colin is in third with 3, and I'm bringing up the rear with 2. So it's not looking good.
God help you. You might want to start praying.
I know. Seriously, it's bad. So For Gateway here, St. Louis, we're making our picks. I picked Kyle Larson, who came 30th. Thank you very much. So I wasted my Kyle Larson pick on a 30th place finish. Ouch. So who am I going to pick for this? I am going to take... This is a very difficult choice. We're getting down to the nitty-gritty. I need to start putting some wins together here. I am going to take Denny Hamlin.
Mm.
All right. Mm. Next up is Colin. You get to pick.
I picked the 38 last week, didn't I?
You picked Buescher last week.
Ah, man. He had a good run, too. One week earlier than I should pick this guy, but I just got a feeling. Vamos, amigos. Daniel Suarez for the win, baby. Woo!
Very nice. Logan, you're up next.
Good pick. It's a good pick. It's a good pick. All right. Man, I'm trying to figure out who's Jordan Taylor driving for?
He's not in this race. He's at Portland.
Oh, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm an idiot. All right. Well, in that case,
you can pick him, but you—I guarantee you won't win.
That's.
You know, if you need to pick Corey LaJoy, this is the week to do it. It's got to be honest with you.
If you pick Corey LaJoy this week, it's going to count as Chase Elliott because we're picking cars. Basically,
I believe I've already picked him.
You have picked LaJoy already. That's correct. Yeah.
I've also picked. All right. We got to move it along.
Yeah.
I will take. Have I picked Amarola yet?
You have.
Fudge sickles. All right. In that case, I will go with. Brad K.
That's a good pick.
You have picked him as well. You picked
Buescher. Hell,
you Buescher. Picked him for the Daytona 500.
Did I pick Buescher? I know. Did I pick Buescher? Buescher.
Let me just double check. I should really give you guys this list so that we don't do this on live on the air. Yes, Buescher is good.
Good. Buescher, we're taking him. Jesus, okay. Lord Almighty.
And producer Peggy did give her picks here. Let me just see. What did she say?
He going to be sitting at home.
She is going to get her first choice. Oh, actually, I have to double check. No, she picked... She's not getting her first choice because she picked other people that she's already picked. She's going to take Austin Cindric. So there we go.
Well, you got to pick him sometime.
Yeah, we got to do it. He's due for a bounce back.
He is. Yeah, I know. I was going to talk about him a little bit today. We ran out of time.
You know what he needs? He needs his dad to be a strategist. Forget Joseph Newgarden. Joseph Newgarden's a champion.
Watch him win this week now that you've talked all that junk about him, Colin, for some reason.
Hey, maybe
you've been on one.
I'm just saying because Chase Elliott and I are gonna be sitting on the couch this week drinking beer, and he ain't gonna do nothing. I'm probably race at iRacing. I'll guarantee you I'll finish higher than Chase Elliott this weekend. Guarantee it.
That's all well and good, but before we get to closing time, I have one fun fact to tell you. Yes, he is missing this race, but you know where he comes back next week? Sonoma. You know what that is? It's a road course. We might have just pissed off the bear. Anywho, every great episode's got to end, and with that, it's time for a little closing time. Yes, we may have, in fact, just pissed off the bear because Sonoma is next week, and Chase Elliott, to our knowledge, unless he, I don't know, throws a headset, we'll be back. You'll be there. But this time is Gateway. We're heading to St. Louis, the home of the St. Louis Cardinals. Used to be the Rams. The late, great Chuck Berry. We're heading to St. Louis.
The St. Louis Blues as well. Represent that Canadian Kenny NHL Wallace. Stuff there. Yep.
Well, it's good to hear. Kenny Wallace. So Kenny Wallace is going to be in the booth. Michael Waltrip as well. A lot of people are hating on it in our inner circle. And I want to tell you something, folks. I'm going last this first time. I'm doing it. Number one, I believe in the vortex theory. Number two, I believe that Kenny Wallace and Michael Waltrip are funny individuals. They can be a little annoying, sure, but so can I. They can't all be hits. Number one, the vortex theory works. Short of the track, better it works. Don't believe me? Well, then how come there's been plenty of times where there's supposed to be rain He didn't get more than a sprinkle. So the vortex theory is real. People are hating on Waltrip and Kenny Wallace for no damn good reason. What you should do is you should pray for Mike Joy, because think about this. Opinion aside on any of these men, and then I'll kick it to the rest of the crew. We got Clint Bowyer, Kenny Wallace, Michael Waltrip, same booth. I want prayers up for Mike Joy this evening, because he's going to have to deal with a whole lot. Adam Carabine, final words. Don't you believe in the vortex theory?
I'm on the fence about the vortex theory. We'll see. I haven't seen enough. I kind of know what Mike Joy is feeling like this weekend, working with a bunch of goons. And hopefully he has the same power that I do, which is to mute the other guys. So, no, I'm just kidding. You guys are great. Don't let me be nasty to you. I'm excited. I'm going to Portland. I'm leaving this weekend, heading down, going to see what's going on down there, and then coming back home and then going back down again for Sonoma. So I will. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be great. So I will still be here for the show next week, and we'll break it all down. Yeah. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
All right. Now, the Vortex Theory's biggest believer, his final words, Colin Beth.
Man, the Vortex Theory is bull crap. Come on. Okay, so think about it. We sure, were racing the Xfinity Series. No, bull crap. We were racing the Xfinity. Okay, I got to tell you, I was at Daytona, right? Pack going 200 miles an hour. Still rained in turn one. Bristol dirt. Still rain. Vortex Theory is bull crap. We were at Charlotte last week during Xfinity Series race. The mist kept coming. If there was a Vortex Theory, man, it would have been gone. It would be gone. There'd be no rain. If there was a Vortex Theory, okay, look.
The Bristol dirt one might be the smoking gun there. I don't know.
Let me educate you something on confirmation bias. All right. Teams know rain is coming, right? It's coming quick. Gotta go hard. Give me 10 laps. Qualifying, baby. Go as hard as you can. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. spins out because he has no talent. Outside of Super Speedways. I digress. Rain comes. Oh, my God. The car stopped. The cars have gone. They're stopped. Rain comes. Vortex theory. It's called confirmation bias, guys. It's what you learn in college. I know none of the NASCAR drivers who ever went to college, except Ryan Newman, who has an engineering degree.
Both of them make it, boys.
From Purdue.
No. Vortex theory is real.
Vortex theory is bull crap.
Anecdotal evidence suggests there's a lot to it. Anywho.
Look at that. See, I just muted them both. Look at the power I have here. Isn't this great? No, I'll bring them back. I think it's time to wrap up here, Logan. We're like close to being happy hour and a half here. So
I was wrapping it up. Did you just hit? I was getting ready to bring it on home, and you said, stop the car.
I'd heard enough about confirmation bias.
I had to look up how to spell it. Anywho, with that, we hope you enjoyed this fine episode. I know I enjoyed my two fine, I guess you're both co-hosts for this week, because it was just kind of a three-man booth in here. So with that, we hope you have a lovely, lovely weekend. Hope you enjoy some great racing, no matter what your persuasion may be. And let's hope we don't even have to think about the Vortex Theory this weekend. It's going to be hot, hot, hot. We got it. I'm out of here. I'm gone. See you next week.